Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon. If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, and as always, joined by the great Gareth A. Davis. Today, we're going to hear from Josh Taylor and Jack Catchell. The pair have begun the build-up to their much-anticipated rematch, a fight that has been almost 2 years in the making. We'll also hear from Catchell's manager, Sam Jones, who spoke with us a little earlier. Amanda Serrano has been speaking with Gareth A. Davis. We are going to hear what she had to say about a potential rematch with Katie Taylor. She's been speaking ahead of her homecoming fight in Puerto Rico, which is on March the 2nd. Plus, we're going to recap UFC 298 and another title dropped by dominant champion as Alexander Volkanovski is knocked out by Ilya Topuria. Look, loads to go through in the hour. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
And then they fell through. Remember that time? Mandatory comments. So there you go.
I think you're just frustrated.
Mandatory, fight Madison Square Garden. You fought a nobody and then fought a 40-year-old and still couldn't put him away.
You were going to fight Steve Claggett.
You got folded up in your last battle.
But listen, we're here now and I'm looking forward to it.
Katie's a tough fighter. I mean, I would love the rematch. I know she loves the rematch too because, you know, that's a question in her career, and I think she wants to prove to everyone that she did win, but, you know, she's not going to have the same amount of the real deal Serrano in there with her.
MMA commentary because it's just basically us fans. They scream and shout just as we would do. I like it. I think more of that should be in boxing. Let's welcome in the great Gareth A. Davis as we do every single Tuesday afternoon. Gareth, how are you, my man?
Hello, good afternoon. I'm being very excited. Do you prefer that, Adi Oladipo?
Well, fight commentary, yeah, not just through podcasts. But actually,
So we need to be very rhythmic.
There you go.
And translucent to transmogrify into different nomenclatures along the way. Yeah.
I don't know what you just said that last one, but yes, that nomenclature. Yeah, that word. Yeah, a bit more of that. A bit more of that. But in general, how's it been this week? Obviously, I know you always busy doing your interviews all over the place. Anything special? Anyone you've interviewed a bit special this week?
Well, I mean, since I saw you last, we've had Amanda Serrano. Wow. I've been for an afternoon with Frank Warren, Mauricio Suleiman today. Hopefully we'll hear from him a little bit later if there's time to audio, put that audio together on Canelo and the heavyweight world. Oh, where else have I been? I've been with Ellie Scottney and Rita Vidal Riley.
All this in 1 week. Wow.
Oh, and more. And more. That's all I can remember. There's definitely others. So something escapes me right now. What was it?
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
I'll tell you what it was. I'll tell you what it was. I had an amazing sit-down with Hamza Shiraz and his father last Thursday as well.
See? Loads. That's why I asked the question, because I know it's busy. I do stalk you on your social media. I see where you are in the world and what you're getting up to, and it's always a busy, busy schedule. I really am happy about, really happy about it. And not just because it's on DAZN, which, you know, is good because I will be presenting it, but Jack Catchell, Josh Taylor, I'm happy because when I heard that DAZN are going to get it, I was thinking, please do not put this on pay-per-view. Don't do it. Because I felt like Boxer were going to do it. DAZN get the fight. It's not on pay-per-view. And the reaction has been fantastic to it. The press conference, one in Edinburgh, one just today now in Manchester. They're going to come to London and do all the tours of TalkSport and Radio 5 Live. It's a big fight. It feels like a big fight.
Yeah, just to plug, I think they're on with White and Jordan tomorrow, and they've got extra security in the studio with them. It'd be like the time that Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark came in. I mean, it's been 2 years in the making, this Grudge rematch, hasn't it? I mean, the grudge is from Catterall. The vitriol was that Josh Taylor faced was appalling, really, because it wasn't his fault. He didn't judge the fight. The judges happened to give him a split decision. But it's a fight that, you know, needed a resolution, if you like. It needed this 2 years later. I'm really pleased it's happening. It's fascinating that Josh Taylor, by the way, Addy, is prepared to go down to 10 stone, back to 10 stone, or stay at 10 stone for it. Obviously, after saying he had no legs in the defeat to Teo Lopez last June in Madison Square Garden. So, and I was there for that, and he did lose his legs after four or five rounds. It's a great fight. I just make Jack Catterall a marginal favourite at the moment, but if Josh Taylor gets in phenomenal shape, and produces his best, it's going to be a real ripper, because Catterall believes he's right and right is might, and he wants to put the record straight, even though, you know, many of us feel he won that first fight. But the two press comments have looked very, very juicy indeed.
Yeah, they have. I mean, if you, Eddie, you're licking your lips, because I almost felt like with what's going on and a lot of the big fights going to Saudi, and obviously Eddie does do lots of fights in America and Mexico, British fight fans are like, well, 1 second, your bread and butter is here. Big fights back in Britain. What's going on? And I feel like he needed this. I'm not trying to say it would have been the collapse of Matchroom if he didn't get it, but he needed a big fight back home. It's going to set up the first direct easily. I think they should have gone bigger, but I think it's important for British boxing that we have big British fights here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Frank Warren's doing great things with Hamza Shiraz, and look at him last week. And there's been lots of things that he's putting together, his magnificent seven card. You look at Ben Shalom's going really, really well with his cruiserweights and his light heavyweights. You know, Riakpor, Chris Billum-Smith, Vidal Riley are all signed to the same promoter in terms of cruiserweights. We've got that great card on March the 31st with Chris Congo and Florian Marku on as well. And so, you know, and also, the, you know, Joshua Boazzi and Anthony Yard look like they're going to fight. So there's that elision. So it's really good that Eddie Hearn is getting some very formidable cards together in the UK. And you know, you're biased because you want to be there, as you say. But it's a really, really good fight, April the 27th in Leeds.
All right. You did mention that you've been speaking to Mauricio Sullivan, which is interesting. Again, you've been a busy man talking about Canelo. And we will talk about Canelo a bit more in depth. But I guess the question put to him was, why isn't it Benavidez next? This is what Mauricio Sullivan had to say.
Benavidez has a March confirmation from his last fight. That is when the mandatory becomes in effect. Unfortunately, we're not promoters. We are regulators. We have left the promoters to deal and try to make the fights surrounding Canelo and Benavidez. And we're waiting to hear from them what is exactly where they stand and if the WBC needs to take any position and any action.
Do you believe that fight will happen? Because it is massive, isn't it?
It's a massive fight. I believe it will happen. I trust it will happen. It's just a matter of finding the right time and the right moment. Big fights require many different elements. And that is a fact. We cannot just look the heavyweight, how long it has taken to come into effect. But I believe that fight is going to take place one day or another.
I do love Mauricio Sullivan. I mean, let's be honest, we can go straight into this Benavidez Canelo now. Like, there's some fights, Gareth, and look, by the way, great interview as well. There's some fights that take time to build, and he's right, right? I mean, he knows more than anyone about how long it takes to build a big fight. But this one, I almost feel like doesn't require the building that he's referring to. You could announce this one now, and I feel like everyone would get behind it. Everyone.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, I literally spoke to Mauricio about an hour and a half ago. That was a very small part of a good 45 or I think 40 minute interview in which we talked about the whole heavyweight scene, the fact that WBC is now 61 years old this year. They've just celebrated. Yeah, 61 years old. Very, very old sanctioning body, but probably the most significant and most erudite, if I can call it that, for going into our vocab today. But one of the most erudite, probably the most erudite sanctioning body around. People accuse Mauricio Sulaiman of being very Machiavellian, but I think he's a brilliant businessman, and he runs the World Boxing Council with the growth of boxing in mind. We spoke about many things. I've known him a long time. And I think the point he's making, I don't necessarily agree with him here, by the way, because I think they should be ordering. Obviously, they're ordering the mandatory, kind of in brackets again, that's David Benavidez for Canelo. I think the fight will happen. It's very, very weird that we don't know the actual opponent yet, because we're going to look at four names potentially are in the hat, because there's Jaime Munguia there. There's this kind of very strange, but a fight I'm a big fan of, Terence Crawford super fight with Saul Canelo Alvarez, and Alvarez has said he has everything to lose by fighting Terence Crawford. And it shows you, by the way, not his deep fear, and I don't mean fear, but his concern for his legacy about losing someone like Terence Crawford, shows you how good Crawford is in Canelo's mind. But I think that outside your super fights of the heavyweights and, you know, the Ryan Garcias and the Tank Davis and Devin Haney, Lomachenko, and these guys, Shakur Stevenson, Keyshawn Davis, Tio Lopez, outside those, this is probably the biggest fight in boxing, because it's one that will cross over enormously in Mexico. They could put that in 120,000 Azteca Stadium.
I'm surprised you just said outside of them, because I don't think there's any fight apart from maybe Fury AJ that's bigger than Canelo versus Benavidez. Any?
Yeah, in terms of, I think you're right. I think globally, in terms of the numbers that we'll watch it, just based on Mexico alone, those in the sports world that will grow it. Because Benavidez is a great talker as well. He can play the villain in this. And Canelo can play the quiet guy, does a bit of golf. You know, he's got his properties all over the world and his mariachi bands. And yeah, it's one of those fights for me that we must see. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, I can't remember who, we were talking about how legacy crosses over into the next generation. And I think it might have been Adam Catterall or myself on Saturday night, and how Mayweather fought Canelo when he was young, and that the legacy, therefore, of Mayweather follows on. If Canelo, who's going to retire in four or five fights and beats Benavidez, his legacy will carry on when Benavidez carries on.
Do you know how the Mexicans view Benavidez? Obviously, look, he's got... I think his mother's from Ecuador, isn't he? His father from Mexico. He was born in America. Like, have the Mexicans gravitated to him? Like, if he were to fight Canelo in Mexico, will it just be full Canelo support? Or will a portion of Mexicans be cheering for Benavidez?
Well, it's the 10-80-10 rule. And I think the 10-90 rule probably applies to Canelo in Mexico. He's, you know, he's similar to Manny Pacquiao, which we must mention today, by the way, if we can. Manny Pacquiao, in the Philippines, talk about the Olympics, because that's happened today.
Yeah.
There's such an adoring public for Canelo. There's such a level of love for him that Benavidez would be the massive underdog with a very partisan support for Canelo. I mean, it'd be 90-10. In my view, for Canelo, and no swinging either way in terms of, you know, what goes on in the build-up. No, he's so popular. You talk to anyone involved in Mexican boxing. You talk to Oscar De La Hoya about him, even though they're not together anymore. You talk about him to anyone like Don Chargin, who's passed now. Was a brilliant old promoter. He used to promote with his wife in Los Angeles, and discovered Canelo for Oscar De La Hoya by seeing his body shots, those arcing, hooking body shots that he throws. And he spotted, and Don Chargin, by the way, who's passed away now, I went to see him in his home on the California coast in Cambria just before he did pass away about 6-7 years ago. And this is a guy I remember who used to, when he was a teenager, he used to go and stand ringside and watch Sugar Ray Robinson training. This is Don Chargin. And he really says, You've got to understand the love that the Mexicans have for Canelo. It's just, it's almost unshakable. So he'd be a big favorite in that fight anyway for me. I just think Canelo, when he's up against someone that really challenges him, and especially someone like Benavidez, who's a bull, it's a proper Mexican fight that. It's an all-time classic if those two step into the ring. It's almost got to happen. Otherwise, we can't finish this era as happy men, Eddie.
No, honestly, it's a fight where, I mean, if Canelo were to go into that fight, again, you're talking a real serious threat now. Like, in terms, and a threat of someone that could hurt him, whereas Bivol was a case of outboxing him. This is someone that can hurt him. And if he were to beat a Benavidez, who is the new king of this era, right, these young kids, I mean, then there's a serious question as to where Canelo sits when it's this all-time great discussion, because he would have taken on fighters from so many different eras and won. And I think, you know, a proper discussion needs to be had with people like yourself, boxing historians, about where Canelo really sits on this pound-for-pound great list of all time. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to look back at UFC 298. We are going to hear from the great Amanda Serrano as well. But up next, we're talking all things Josh Taylor, Jack Catterall.
Looking for room. Catterall, and he floors Taylor here in the eighth round.
He performs like that and beats the champion in his own backyard and gets absolutely robbed.
Jack Catterall is so close now to the night of his boxing life.
And still...
I'm actually embarrassed tonight because I'm promoting this event and I couldn't see how 114, 111.
He put up a good fight, that's for sure, but he never won the fight.
The moment you think you work all your life, you're going to get crowned a world champion after a performance like that, and he's snatched away from you. It's disgusting. I don't even know what to say.
That was Jack Catterall's night.
I want you to go in there and straighten that one out properly, and I hope you're going to do it.
How many times do I need to say to you? I've already said it to you three times in this interview.
I will fight him again.
Bubbling up very, very nicely. Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Yes, it has been signed, it's sealed, and it will be delivered as well. April 27th, Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall. It's a fight I've been waiting for over 2 and a bit years. At the time of the fight, remember, the first fight was undisputed. All the marbles on the table. Both of those guys were unbeaten. Not the same this time round. No belts on the line, but the hostility's still there. The hate is still there. And let's hear from both of them. They went back and forth in the first press conference in Edinburgh a couple of days ago.
Jack went away and took another fight. Instead of Ben Shalom getting the fight done and getting it rescheduled,
we're not bothered.
They went and took another
we're
fight.
Now.
And then that
we're
fell
not through. Bothered.
Remember that time? Now. Mandatory comes. So there you go.
I think you're just
was
frustrated.
It a mandatory fight in Madison Square fight. Garden. You fought a nobody and then fought a 40-year-old and still couldn't put him away.
You were going to fight Steve Claggett.
You got folded up in your last fight.
But listen, we're here now. And I'm looking forward to it, Eddie. Yeah, well, comes to fight, then great. I hope the referee this time doesn't allow the...
I put you on your ass your last fight.
Yeah,
and you got smashed in your last fight.
You still got beat, because you were never done all the rest of the fight.
You can't even see straight.
So
I'm going to smash you to pieces.
So there you go. So, you lost. Why don't you go and phone the police?
The ring?
In the House of Parliament. Go and get me a letter into the police again, you grass.
So much going into this fight. I mean, it's not often, Gareth, that we do say fighters hate each other, because at the end of the day, it is competition, and you can understand how fighters, you know, amp it up a little bit. But these two genuinely do not like each other. Hence why everywhere they're going. I mean, they're going to be at TalkSport tomorrow. There will be security. I'm doing the face-off tomorrow. I've been told there's extra security. I mean, it's a real hatred. And when it's real, I don't mind it. I don't like the WWE stuff, but the real stuff, I don't mind.
Well, I don't know. As long as it doesn't get out of order tomorrow, they really, you know, they want to get at each other's throats, Addy, and there'll be security when you do your sit down with them tomorrow, because they're going to talk about a lot of personal things. Those things there, I mean, it did, I'd say it tickled me. If it tickled me, it's going to tickle the trolls and the audience out there that and the hardcore fans that want to see this, that, you know, there's stuff to go on, like... Taylor going on about Lindsay Hoyle, the MP for Chorley, being raising, was there corruption in the scoring in Parliament? There's so many layers to discuss around this. And, you know, as April the 27th comes into focus, We're still in February, remember? So it's quite a good build up for it. I hope they keep this going through their camps, because it's going to be mouth watering when they eventually do step into the ring in Leeds on April the 27th. I hope we're all there.
Yeah. With that, I'm happy you mentioned that it is in Leeds, the first direct arena. I think I looked at it the other day, and I think it's a capacity of like 13 or so thousand, which is big, right? I mean, Josh Warrington's treated us to so many great fights there, and when it is packed, it's a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah.
But will Eddie, in the back of his mind, think, yeah, we maybe should have gone the AO Arena in Manchester, which is 21,000, or somewhere a bit bigger?
Yeah, I mean, I am quite surprised myself. Maybe it wasn't possible to get it on the date. Maybe, it will come down to dates and you know, what aligns in at that time. You know, asking people to come down from Scotland and from Chorley, or to come out from Lancashire to the O2 Arena is probably a bit of a stretch. Mm. They're probably thinking it's a good one in terms of a fairly neutral venue, and they will sell it out. I don't think there's any question that this fight will sell out the arena, because, like you say, 13,000, 14,000 in there, it's going to create an incredible atmosphere. And the fight itself, Jack Catchell's got a very, very difficult style to beat. He doesn't, when you think of his style, he's just incredibly solid, brilliant foundations under Jamie Moore. As always comes with a great game plan. Never allowed, really, Josh Taylor, struggled as he did as undisputed champion on one of the worst nights I've ever seen him on, just to try and find his rhythm. Catchell never allowed him to find that rhythm. But it was a very, what I'll say is, that was a very, very close fight. And if you recall, I think the judge on the night, Ian John Lewis, was pulled in front of the boxing water control, and he's fallen out with them since. You know, one of the things that I spoke to Mauricio Suleiman about earlier, which I'm kind of didn't have a chance to get over to you in terms of audio, he wants to have six judges for some fights. Because sometimes two out of three judges can get things wrong, because they did an experiment with a ton of judges judging about, and still three out of 30 got it wrong, I think. So it just shows that maybe we need to look at how the scoring system is in boxing. It could be another very close fight. But as I say, I don't know about you, but I just edge towards Jack Catterall, because right is might. And he just might feel that he is the one that really needs to set the record straight here, rather than Josh Taylor, who's got a different kind of record to set straight and put his career in many ways back on track.
Yeah, no, I edge towards Jack as well. And I say edge because it will be closer. I'm not with the people that think Josh is done. I'm like, one second, Josh lost to Teofimo Lopez, who a week ago was the best 140-pounder on the planet. He's not that bad. But with Josh, I mean, again, going into the first fight, undisputed, easily the best fighter in Britain, pound for pound, top six or seven. There's a lot of talk about him going up to 147 to take on Crawford or Spence. That's how highly thought of, he was. Going into this fight, he isn't that, is he? You don't look at Josh as a top-level pound-for-pound guy anymore. Where is he mentally, Josh, and physically, having to boil down to 140?
Well, this is what concerns me for him, because, you know, 140 does look difficult for him at the moment. He said his legs had gone against Teofimo Lopez. It might have just been the way he tapered down. There was a lot of talk about him going up to 147. I almost certainly think he will after this, if he wins. If he loses, it's a really difficult one, because he's got to find something inside himself. I mean, Josh, you've stood next to Josh. He's not a small man. He's a very tall, lean fighter, you know, close to 6 foot. Mm. And he's, you know, early 30s now. He's got a lot of weight to lose. He looks in shape already. I will say that, though. You know, he loves a feed and a drink. And he does look like he's already getting himself. He looked sharp and kind of groomed, and like he'd already started losing weight at the two press conferences this week, Monday and today. It's fascinating. It really is, because, like you say, he's been at the very highest echelons of the sport. That incredible run in the 10-stone tournament, winning the Muhammad Ali trophy, a brilliant run where he beat a raft of great fighters, including Regis Progre in that brilliant fight at the O2 Arena. And then, of course, the undisputed title against Jose Benavidez in Las Vegas in lockdown. In many ways, he really needs a big victory to get his career back on track at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, it can't suffer those losses back to back. And I say back to back to back, it could be because I thought Jack beat him, and then obviously the Tio fight, and then this one, he needs a good performance. And I actually think we are going to get a very good Josh Taylor. A bit of breaking news that'll be interesting to see your reaction to this one. Obviously, Jack Catchall is trained by Nigel Travis and Jamie Moore. They also have or had Chantel Cameron in their stable as well. Fantastic performances from her recently against Katie Taylor. We are hearing now that Chantel Cameron has split from Jamie Moore and Nigel Travis, which I find interesting. Again, her run with them has been fantastic.
And it's hasn't.
And it surprises me, this one. Surprised as well?
Yeah, I am. I've got to say that because I thought they were a great team. And when you talk about great trainers and what they can do for their charges, I'll never forget the interview I had with Chantel after she beat Katie Taylor the first time. And they've been two amazingly brilliant, entertaining and close fights where these two protagonists have literally given everything. She reminded me that even though she was the champion and Katie Taylor walked in last in that first fight in Dublin, it was Jamie Moore and Nigel Travers who kept her so calm for the 8-minute walk-in that Katie Taylor really milked at the Three Arena. And, you know, she said, had it not been for them, I might have just lost my nerve for a minute because I get so nervous. So I'm very surprised. It might just come down to her needing a change to bring about a change in the style for the third fight. It didn't work the second time. Taylor, taking nothing away from her, by the way, was brilliant in the second fight. She maybe just needs a change. I don't really see it logically, but people always have their reasons, Eddie.
They certainly do. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we are going to hear from Amanda Serrano, who's been speaking to Gareth A. Davis. She looks ahead to her fight March 2nd. Big fight for her in Puerto Rico. And we're going to have more on that breaking news regarding Chantel Cameron as well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, Gareth A. Davis. Still got loads to come in the next sort of half an hour on the show. Let's now hear from the great Amanda Serrano, who says a rematch with Katie Taylor is the only thing that would make her consider returning to fight in 2-minute rounds. Interesting. The Puerto Rican star sold out Madison Square Garden for a classic with Taylor in 2022 and has since set her sights on fighting 3-minute rounds more often. However, she has been speaking with Gareth and she said the opportunity to step in with Taylor again would be enough to get her back to shorter rounds.
Katie's a tough fighter. I mean, I would love the rematch, and I know she loves the rematch too, because you know that's a question in her career, and I think she wants to prove to everyone that she did win, but you know she's not gonna have the same amount of the real deal Serrano in there with her, you know, and like I've been saying, you know, Katie is the only girl that I'm willing to go back to the 2 minutes. If she takes the 3 minutes, then that's even better for me. But you know, Katie, yeah, she will get the 2 minutes if she wants it. But I would definitely love the rematch if she wants it, and I think this time I will get the knockout.
Can I talk to you about 2 and 3 minute rounds? I've been in the sport a long time. I've supported women's boxing a long time. I supported the court case that Jane Couch had 27 years ago against the British Boxing Board of Control to become the first licensed professional in the UK. And I, you know, followed Jane's, and Jane's a lunatic, frankly, but, but she goes way back when, where she had no money. She slept in journalists' rooms in hotels because she had no money. She fought everyone. She's a legend. She's in the Hall of Fame this summer, which I'm really delighted about.
Deserving.
Absolutely. But you know this yourself. Aerobic and anaerobic is different with 2 and 3 minute rounds. But I have a theory that some of the most exciting fights we're seeing at the moment are women's fights because they're 2 minute rounds. And maybe men's fights will go to 2 minute rounds eventually.
Not necessarily. I think we make exciting fights depending on who we're fighting, the girls who are fighting each other. The best fight is best now, and that's what makes exciting fights, to go out there. You know, styles do make fights, so depending on in there. But I have the same output in 3 minutes that I did in 2 minutes, you know. I as you saw my last fight, I went there, I threw like over 1,000 punches, and I went out there and I fought as if I was fighting the 2 minutes. So yeah. That's just who I am. That's just who I think. The 3 minutes allows us to get an extra minute of either, you know, going out there and fighting. But sometimes the 2 minute rounds with women, it, like I said, styles make fights. Some 2 minutes are really boring. They're not exciting. So yeah. That's sloppy. So we don't have, it's like, 2 minutes to me is like a sprint. Like, you have to go out there and we have to just give it all. You don't have time to like to do the head movements or to set up the punches. Now with the extra minute, we can sit down and relax a little bit, set up. Maybe we'll have the more devious knockouts and stuff. But I think it's just the 2 minutes, it's just so, it's such sloppiness, and we have to showcase that.
I absolutely love Amanda Serrano. There aren't that many boxers on planet Earth that I really adore. And when she fights, it almost reminds me of when I was young, watching Mike Tyson. Like, when they get hurt, I'm like, no, stop. Like, I really adore her. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be with her in Texas for one of her fights on the undercard of a Jake Paul fight. When Jake Paul was fighting Nate Diaz, she took me for lunch. I don't really know her, but she said, let's go for lunch. We went, she sat down, told me some amazing stories, took me to a sneaker shop, bought sneakers for me. She must have spent about $800 on me just buying sneakers. I was like, oh, I felt bad. She's like, no, take them. Honestly, big, big fan of hers. And I'm happy now into this part of her career that she's getting paid, getting the recognition. Because as you know, Gareth, she's been doing this for a long, long time without getting paid, without getting the fanfare, all the love. And now she's fighting back in Puerto Rico. She's getting paid high six figures, maybe even seven figures for some fights. She so deserves it.
Look, 35 years old. Well, I'll add my own little story to that. She sent me a message after we did that interview saying, oh, you're such a good interviewer. I'm not. She's just brilliant. And I was very excited.
You can't say that she said that. You can't. We can't. What's this? What are we doing here? We have no proof of this or anything that she said this.
No, well, we got no proof about these sneakers.
I bought them in. I tagged her. She reposted it, everything.
Okay, well, that's fine. No, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying it to glorify myself. I'm saying it because I was just being very effusive towards her in that was a portion of the interview. I'd been running around trying to get a connection at the time, and we were slightly late starting. It was on a Zoom call. And, you know, she's 35 years of age. I like this matchup with Nina Meinke, by the way, on March the 2nd, I think it is, because she's been very active in the last 2 years. 4 fights in 2022, 3 fights in 2023. It's a really, really good fight for it, as far as I'm concerned. Like you say, back in Puerto Rico, I think there's an argument that in terms of her actual style, and I'll throw this out there, she is the best pound for pound in terms of technical skills as a boxer, ferocious come forward counter-punching fighter, in the style of a Vasyl Lomachenko, if I can compare her to him as another featherweight, if you like. But what I really like about her is I think that she's a legendary figure. She's eschewed the WBC title. She's got all the other belts because they won't let her box 3 minute rounds. She's sticking up 2 minute, yeah, 3 minute rounds. So she's sticking to her guns. She's a pathfinder. She's as much a lightning rod in the sport as Katie Taylor is. And I revised my view about her the other day, and I went away and I thought, I'm going to go and have a little look at her again. When you watch her box, I don't think there's another woman on the planet who's as good a pure boxer as her. Discuss.
Yeah, Clarissa has to be there. Like, Clarissa's a pure boxer. Like, aggressive as well, on the front foot. Take it too, like the way she took it to Savannah. Like, it's weird because I revised, it's interesting you said it, because I actually revised my opinion of Clarissa based on the Savannah fight. I was like, yeah. Oh, I don't think Clarissa's going to be as aggressive against Savannah, because Savannah, as you've known, being around her for so long, it's just so much bigger. But when she was on the front foot against Savannah, I was like, okay, she is an aggressive, pure boxer, dog-like fighter. So I definitely, with no qualms with what you said about Amanda. I think Amanda ticks all those boxes. I'll just have Clarissa with her as sort of pound for pound in terms of just pure boxer aggression on the front foot and can bang a bit. I'd say Clarissa as well.
Yeah, I just think Amanda on the inside, the way she sways, the way she moves, her in and out work, the footwork, Listen, you can't discount Clarissa Shields as being right up there as well. But right now, I'm going Amanda Serrano, pound for pound, number one.
I can't argue with it. It's tough between quite a few girls, but she's right up there. On that, obviously, she mentioned that she wants to have that fight again with Katie Taylor. Who wouldn't want to see that, by the way? Fantastic fight. You were there front and centre, Madison Square Garden. The greatest atmosphere I think both of us experienced in many years. It does look like, though, that we are going to get the trilogy between Chantel Cameron and Katie Taylor. Chantel Cameron has been speaking to The Independent, and she said that a date's been set of the 25th of May between her and Katie. It's not going to happen at Croke Park. It's likely to go happen at the Free Arena. What I do want to get to, though, is the split thing again between her, Jamie Moore, and Nigel Travis. She went on to say, it's been very amicable between me and my old team. I love them to pieces and think the world of them. There's been no fallout. It was just the fact that I needed something new. I needed a change. Just her first defeat. So just after one defeat, you need something new and a change. Am I being a bit harsh on her here, or is it okay to have? I mean, look, boxers know when they want to try something new, don't they? And she's maybe just come to a point where a new voice in the corner, a new training technique, a new camp, that's probably why she's gone.
Yeah, and also you've got to remember that Chantel was commuting between Northampton and the north of England all the time for her camps and training camps, and perhaps she just wants to change and be slightly closer to home. It'll be fascinating to see who she revises that with. What it also does, though, Eddie, before we go into our break, is it really adds to the amazing year. And I'm going to throw this out there. I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now with all these fights announced. We've talked about Catterall and Taylor, a very important fight that needs to be made on April the 27th. This is now May the 25th. May the 18th, the week before we got the undisputed title. June the 1st, the undisputed light heavyweight title between Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. I'm not joking. This first, we've got Ngannou and Joshua coming up, Zhang and Parker. There are so many other fights. Hamza Shiraz has just shown us some amazing things.
Oppa Tire Bradis.
We are looking, in my view, at the best 6 months that I can remember for a very, very long time. And if the year goes on like this, and we do get, let's say, more big heavyweight fights, and Canelo does fight Benavidez this year, I've said it a couple of times in the last week, this could be one of the seminal years in boxing history. Look what's happened with the investment in Saudi Arabia. The big American fights are all working together. Amazon Prime, I think it's March the 30th, is the Amazon Prime first event. Huge platform. Tim Hsu, Keith Thurman, Rolly Romero, Oscar De La Hoya working with Al Heyman, the American promoters and lots of managers working together. Boxing is really, really starting to take an amazing shape on.
Yeah, it is incredible. You're right. And we're talking just the first 6 months and we still haven't heard anything about Javante Tank Davis, Terrence Bud Crawford, Errol Spence is still out there as well. We're waiting to see what goes on with him. I mean, once those guys announce what they're doing as well to what we've already got guaranteed, I mean, again, boxing fans like to moan. And I get it, all right? We've been sort of dealt some tough hands over the last few years, but the last two or three years have been sensational, and I think there's so much more to come. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to switch gears, talk a bit of UFC. Welcome back to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. All right, let's put boxing to the side for a second. Talk a bit of MMA. We're going to focus on the world of UFC. UFC 298 in the books from the weekend. Another champion dethroned, Ilya Topuria, stopping Alexander Volkanovski, who's been the long-reigning featherweight champion. A lot of people forget that because of his two defeats with Makhachev. Remember, that was at 155 pounds. At 145, he's dominated for the last couple of years. Where are you right now on just... and we'll get into the fights specifically in a minute, but where are you in just the star power of UFC at the moment? I have this argument all the time, or debate all the time, I just don't feel like it's where it once was. The stars haven't yet come through the way maybe Dana would have wanted them to.
I had a big chat for TalkSport with Michael Bisping about this, and he was selling UFC 300 on April the 13th.
He better keep selling.
Exactly.
I ain't buying.
There's a load of great matchups on the card. You know, Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway for the BMF title. You can't say that what it is out loud because it's too rude for our station. Charles Oliveira and Arman Tsarukyan, Prochazka and Rakic, Willy Zhang and Yan Shannon. And the headline announced as Alex Pereira and Jamal Hill. You know, I was at UFC 200. Mm. I was at UFC 100 live at those events, and the star power on those events, Brock Lesnar on both of them, some amazing fighters, George St. Pierre, and all the stars at the time, Cain Velasquez, it went on and on and on. Sometimes I think we get a little bit hooked on star power, and we get favourites and we stick with them a little bit. And UFC or MMA moves a little bit quicker than boxing in lots of ways. The careers are tending to be shorter. But I think UFC 300, without a Michael Chandler and Conor McGregor on it, without a John Jones against a Tom Aspinall, without a John Jones against Stipe Miocic, I think it... I'm not criticising them because they're doing the best they can do with it. And they are a phenomenally... successful promotional league, but there aren't maybe you can't replicate a John Jones, a Conor McGregor, an Anderson Silva, a George St. Pierre. Maybe they only come around every now and
then.
But
he's always been able to do it. I remember that there was always critique of Dana, well, not critique, but then it always used to shut down the fact that stars retire or leave. And it's like, look, I've been in this for a long time, new stars will come, and he's been correct all the time. Because there have been new stars. I just wonder if he's the want of a Sean O'Malley or a Hamzat. I just wonder if they're where they need to be yet. And I don't think they are. They're not big pay-per-view number guys. And there certainly hasn't been a big pay-per-view number female either since Amanda Nunes left. Like, even the females, but there is no big super female star at the moment.
No, you're right. There's no Misha Tate. There's no Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey. I remember I knew Ronda before she was Ronda Rousey, before she was Rowdy. Before that whole moment exploded in 2013, just over a decade ago now. I was deep in presenting and broadcasting on UFC at the time, and, you know, being very involved in a huge group of media at the time. Trying to tell the world that all it was a matter of eyes on the sport, and it would grow. And indeed it has, because it's an extraordinary sport and they do pick the best tribal fighters in mixed martial arts that they can find anywhere on the planet. They will come. That they've built it, so there will always be a trickle down of great fighters who become stars. Let me throw Addy into UFC 298 at the weekend. You mentioning females, one of the very best fights I've seen for a very long time was the last fight on the prelim card that lit me up at 3 a.m. Amanda Lemos against Mackenzie Dern. I don't know if you saw it.
I did. But I felt sorry for Mackenzie. What a great fight!
Yes, you did feel sorry for her. But she had moments, because she's a brilliant world champion in jiu-jitsu. There were moments on the ground where that place, the roof, would have come off that place in the Honda Center in Anaheim if she had just reversed getting a beating from Amanda Lemos. That was an incredible fight. And if you're listening to this and you haven't watched it and you've got a chance to go back and watch it, you cannot believe the heart, spirit of Mackenzie Dern, who will be a champion one day because she's got it. And what I was delighted to know about, with 10 men on the main card, those women were paid 6 and 7 on the card. Amanda Lemos earned $160K and Mackenzie Dern $200K, dollars that is. But I'm so glad they're earning good money because they put everything on the line in that fight. It was an extraordinary advert for women's mixed martial arts.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't matter if you lose as well. Mackenzie Dern's on a bit of a skid, but she comes, she fights, she's got up as well. And I agree, I think if she continues to improve on a few holes that she's got, I think she could be definitely within the championship contention. There has been something very interesting in the last couple of days. Obviously, we know that the WWE and the UFC have merged, and it was so good to see Michael Chandler at a recent WWE event. Let's just listen to it anyway. This is what Michael Chandler had to say when he was given the mic.
Please welcome UFC lightweight fighter, Michael Chandler!
Hey, what's up, Anaheim?
Oh, hey, you are now in the presence of the most entertaining UFC fighter on the planet!
Okay.
Hey, now there's a man from Ireland that's been making me wait for way too long. And I still got one dude on my mind. Conor McGregor, get your candy ass back to the octagon. We got some unfinished business, boys. God bless. I'll see you at the top.
Fantastic. That's it. You get a moment, grab the mic like that in a different audience. I say different audience, actually. A lot of MMA fans actually are big WWE fans as well. But get your mic and call out someone like that. It sounded like he was just perfectly built for this. I love the call out from Chandler.
Look, someone had given Michael, whatever it was, 90 seconds to do his thing there on the WWE broadcast. That was in California as well, I think.
It was Anaheim. Yeah, California. Yeah.
It was at the Anaheim. Was it the night before or the night after? Look, he did a great job. I know Michael very well from his days in Bellator. I've spent many an hour with him in Hawaii and other places along his career. He's a fantastic man and fighter. And I know his wife, who's a doctor, very well. And, you know, his adoptive son, who's of mixed race as well. He's a beautiful person, Michael Chandler, an amazing warrior, a mini Mike Tyson with his striking. And also, by the way, I think we saw him step on the scales, Eddie, and I think he's 190 pounds. And I think that was an indication. I don't know if that was, I saw him do that in another social media video around that. And he's just trying to say to Conor McGregor, come on, let's just make this. They can make it maybe at 185. They can make it a 180. He wants the fight with Conor McGregor, and it's a thrilling prospect. When they put it on, I don't know. I was hoping they'd announce it, if I'm fair, to be honest about it. I wanted it on April the 13th at UFC 300.
Final hot take for myself here. I don't think Conor McGregor ever will step into an octagon again. I think he's done from fighting. If it will be an exhibitions type fight in Saudi Arabia, I think that will be that. Gareth A. Davis, as always, my man, great hour. Packed so much into it. We'll see you guys again next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.